Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to welcome you to the first night of Passover. In the Hebrew faith, it's one of the most important times ever, and we're going to talk about the Passover story, and we're going to bring a powerful word from Steve and John, and you're going to be blessed. But before we begin, we have something very important to share. Glory, glory. What a powerful way to start any time we have a service. So I want to talk about the month of Nisan for a moment and talk about Passover. You know, in this month, it's the day or the month that we celebrate Passover. It always begins on the 14th of Nisan, which happens to be the 22nd of April this year. And it commemorates the Hebrews' people's miraculous redemption from slavery in Egypt and the birth of the Hebrew nation and the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Yeshua. It is called Piash, which is the Hashem shows the beginning of miracles. Okay, and it is where they honored that which he did. So this is the Passover story, just for a little bit. We're not going to go into great depth on it, but I'm going to give you a little bit of importance. Most of you know it, but there's many listening in that never study the Old Testament, do not have any idea about the Torah or the foundations, and that's what we're dealing with tonight. The Passover story. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, which is Nisan. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb per household. And the household, and if the household is too small, let him and a neighbor join according to the number of persons, each man having a lamb. Your lamb will be without blemish, a male of the first year. You will take it from the sheep and from the goats, you may, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, okay? Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel of the house, and they shall eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled, or with water, but roasted in fire. Its heads and its legs and its entrails, all of it. You shall eat that till none of it remains for the morning. What remains shall be cast in the fire, and thus you shall eat it. With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through Egypt on that night, and I shall strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord your God. Now the blood shall be a sign for the houses." Okay, the blood on the doorpost. "And when you see the blood, when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. And any plague and plague shall not enter or destroy you or strike you in the land of Egypt. This is a day that shall be a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and it shall be kept as a feast everlasting." So the Lord plans on keeping this one for everlasting. You know, so when we look at Passover, we observe not only the anniversary of Exodus and the removing of the leaven from the people, okay, that's what that represented, but it also talks about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me hit you with a couple of scriptures real quick. In Exodus 12:3, "And all the congregation of Israel, on the 10th day of the month, they shall take this lamb," okay, the kid, which I just gave to you, "and they shall consume it," which you just heard, "and it shall be without blemish," okay? and you just keep it till that day. And here is John 1:29. Next day, John, the baptizer, saw Yeshua, Jesus, coming to him, and he said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And 1 Peter 1:19 says, "But you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or without spot." We were purchased by that blood, and a lot of people have it wrong. They go into the teaching that Constantine the Pope did. So, on the calendar at that time, that lamb had to be taken, okay, and that would be kept for 3 days. Now, according to the calendar here, we're going to use it as if it were the day. Okay, the 10th would have been today. But on the Wednesday, which is the first Wednesday, which was the first major time when at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the lamb would be sacrificed. Okay, and then they had to roast it and eat it that night, beginning at 6. Okay, so, and then, let's take a look at Yeshua. The word says he had to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Well, a day began on the evening and the morning of the first day. So he had to be sacrificed and in the grave by sundown, which most people consider about 6. And he had to be in the grave, so that would be Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. So Wednesday to Thursday to Friday to Saturday, he could be resurrected on Saturday night, beginning at sundown, all the way till the morning, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. So he had to fulfill Scripture. This whole teaching about he was sacrificed on Friday night and he rose on Sunday does not hold any weight according to Scripture. He had to be in the grave, in the earth, in the belly, of the earth, 3 days, three nights. So to fulfill Scripture. And then he rose probably Saturday night, Sunday morning. And that's when Mary came to the tomb to, to attend to him, and where she met the angels, and the stone had been rolled away. So when we celebrate Passover, and at the congregation I attend, we honor Easter Passover. Now, Easter Estar was a pagan holiday, but we make the significance known to everybody that we're going to honor Passover. He was the Passover lamb. And we need to know the significance of the time. It was the month of redemption, and his blood redeemed us. Okay? It's not only that he passed us over for our sins, but he redeemed us. And we are no longer guilty as long as we press into that blood. And the blood shall be a sign for you, and the house is where you are. Well, what house are you? You are a house. The blood covers you. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and no plague shall befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Well, we're at that time in history where many people say, this is it. The rapture's coming. Well, I teach that I don't believe in that. It says the first taking away is actually going to be the wicked. And he's not coming back for a defeated church. He's coming back for a triumphant bride. So that means wickedness is going to be exposed, and the wicked are going to be judged. Now, is he going to do it through Gitmo? Is he going to do it through angels? Is he going to take them out? Is he going to cast them in hell? I'm not worried about that anymore. I used to teach eschatology, and that was a big thing in my church, and I had repented for it. I said, Lord, help me to do that which is right in thy sight. Help me, because I have missed it. I'm starting to understand. And the Lord said this. He says, I am the great I am. I am the great I am. Okay. And I'm the one that took my people out of bondage. And I am the one who healed the brokenhearted. I am the one who raised the dead, even my son, and brought life to the dry bones. I am he who owns all the cattle on all the hills. And with me and through my breath, I created all creation through my son. I am the one that breathed life into humanity. Which of my names spells doom and gloom? Which of my names shows that my children are going to be defeated? None. I am the Alpha and Omega. My glory covers the earth. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the King, the Everlasting One. I am the first and the last, the beginning, the end. I am the Son of God. And the crucifixion of my Son severed all ties to the wickedness in this world if you'll truly accept Him as Savior and Lord. There is no enemy that can destroy you because you have everlasting life. Now, you know, we got the scriptures always if and then, that we expected to do certain things. We're expected to press in. We're expected to receive, to know and understand that which we're supposed to do. The word is pretty specific. It's an if and then gospel. And we are literally at the time and season where He's saying many of these things are now going to come to pass, which we thought were only end time events. We are in the kingdom age. Well, the kingdom age has to go through its complete cycle also. Now, God can cut it short because He owns time. He controls time. Time was created for man, not man created for time. And the Lord controls it. In the third heaven, there is no time. There is nothing there that stops it or starts it. He can show you the beginning. He can show you the end. He can show you your life. He can show you anything He wants because He is the great I am. So it seems like things are crazy beyond our wildest imagination. It seems like there's no hope, that our future has been taken from us, that the enemy is winning, that wickedness is in control, and the Lord is just exposing. Now, it's probably gone a whole lot further than we'd like it to go, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to get worse. He said there's going to be shakings and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and storms and signs in the skies in various places. There's going to be a lot of travail. At the same time, He said He'd protect us. Now, a lot of people say, well, many Christians have died. Yeah, they have. Okay, I'm dealing with somebody right now. It's overseas. Their family, what's left of them, is in Turkey. And they died in the terrorist attacks in Gaza. Husband, brothers, sisters, children, all died. They escaped. And they're having a hard time getting, you know, surviving. And you say, well, what about these people? Well, you know what? To live is to serve Christ, to die is to be with Christ. And I know that sounds awfully harsh, but we have access to the kingdom. We have the ability to cross over at any time. All He's got to do is just raise His little finger, and guess what? You know, we're going. And what we have to do is always be prepared. We pray for our kids. We pray for our families. We decree and declare that they're His and that we're going to go forth and fulfill the gospel in our destiny and our plan. And that's what we work towards. We keep our eye on Him so that if and when He does return, we're doing that which He set us to do as an assignment for our lives and for His kingdom purposes. There are things that I'm involved in now that in my wildest dreams and imagination, I never would have imagined. And I'm a big dreamer. You know, I dream of building cities and reestablishing nations, and it's nothing compared to what He's showing us. We have great opportunities and responsibilities, and that time and season is upon us when we are to fulfill those covenants that He gave to us. So as we go forward, as we look at this season, as we look at this week, I want you to be in keep in mind and reverence that, you know, this is the time, this is the season, and this week is considered the Holy Week. And even the, and I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago during what Easter was celebrated, there is another Easter celebration that's coming on the 30th of the month, which is the 22nd of Nisan. And that is by the, oh my goodness, it's the Russian church. What are they called, Robert? You probably could pull that up as quick as anybody.
Russian Orthodox?
The Orthodox Church, yes. The Orthodox Church celebrates Easter at the end of this month. So traditions of man versus that which God is saying and doing, and so often way off base. So let's press in to see what he's saying. And we have several friends, Matt being one of them, that's been in a sabbatical for going on 3 weeks. Sharon has joined in a sabbatical on some things. There's others that are in sabbatical times because they want to hear and see what the Lord is saying and doing, that they can be prepared for such a time as this, that they can be of help to the kingdom purposes. So all of us need to press in and recognize the time and seasons we're in, and that this is the Holy Week. This is the month of redemption, and that he has redeemed us, and that as we go forward, we can walk in that redemption like never before. Father, I come in the name of Yeshua, and I come by the blood that was shed with an understanding that everything that we face today is nothing compared to what your plans are, nothing compared to what your promises are, nothing compared to what the enemy is doing. And we decree and declare that we, our household, our families, shall be saved, our nation shall be saved, and that we shall complete the destinies that you set in place for us before the beginning of time, before the foundation of earth, that we were in you, Father, and you birthed us through the process of putting your spirit into men and women, that we've become sons and daughters. The greatest position in the kingdom is that of a son and a daughter. It's not apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist. It's sons and daughters. Lord, we have authority, we have position, we have rights, and we are just learning and beginning to learn the rights of citizenship of the kingdom of God. Help us to see, hear, know, and understand what you're saying, that you'd be glorified, that we would walk it out, that your glory be manifest, that the light of your glory would shine through us, that we would be an example of you in light, glory, and love everywhere we go. And people would want to know what makes you so different, that we could tell them it's by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, pour your spirit out tonight. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Anoint us. Break off the yokes of bondage. Heal us. Deliver us. Guide us and instruct us. Show us that which you'd have us to do. Help us in our time of need. You're holy. You're awesome. You're worthy. There's none other. There is literally no hope beside thee, and we are desperate for you. So pour your spirit out upon us, and let every moment that we come together be a moment of glory for you. And I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing and you're going to do this night and forevermore. In Yeshua's name, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the sacrifice, Yeshua. Thank you for all that you've done. Glory, glory, glory. You know, it's always a privilege to have you all here, that you all show up so faithfully, and that it's such an honor to work with you and those of you that contribute word to what we're doing. You know, I always honor everybody where honor's due that I possibly can. And Steve Lufster is certainly none different. As director for Your Servants in Christ Ministries, he has ministered in South America, the United States, and other places. His story and testimony is incredible, and he's an outstanding writer and pastor and teacher, and it's always a privilege. And this time, he's telling us something that is just a time of joyous celebration, and that's all creation shouts. Steve?
Thank you, Wade. Good evening, everybody. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to be with you tonight and to share this word. When I started to think about presenting this again tonight. I had to laugh because it's like every week we talk about the times that we're in and how things are moving so quickly and things are changing. And it's like this increased pace of almost frenetic change. Even I think you've all seen it, but the polar vortex that usually goes from west to east changed direction twice this year. We've got wars. We don't even need to worry about rumors of wars. We got enough wars. The United States is leaving Niger. There's just all this stuff going on all over the place. And then our own personal lives, our family lives. You know, Wade mentioned this family from Gaza, and we all have stuff going on, challenges health-wise. All these things that are going on in our lives, it just, everything seems to be turned upside down and turned around and twisted around. And it's in times like these, number one, we need to be founded on the Word of God. That is absolutely number one. You have to be founded on the Word of God. And number two, we need to make sure that we have the right perspective. That's one of my primary words, if you will, perspective, because it's so important. If we don't get the right perspective, everything else gets out of focus. And our perspective as believers is Yeshua, is that He is in control, and that He is going to one day usher in the completion of the redemption that He purchased on the cross. That redemption is more than just a redemption from our sins, and it's the redemption of every part of creation and life. I want to call your attention to a critical passage for our perspective, this kind of perspective in these days. And I'm going to read it to you. I don't usually read this extended amount of scripture, but I think it's very important, found in Romans chapter 8. I know you're familiar with this passage, but just allow the Spirit of God to minister and speak to you as I read from Romans chapter 8, verses 16 to 25. Paul writes, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Wade was just talking about that. "And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to that day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He's promised us." Gloria, glory, hallelujah to that. Amen. "We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it," he says. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. The Word of God. This is an amazing, amazing passage of hope. Yeah, in this lifetime, we have to endure those things that cause us to groan. But the hope is that there is coming a day, and it's not a I wish hope. It's a hope built and founded on the Word of God. The hope is that we, and there is coming a day when we will share in His glory. He promises that. Jesus said that to his disciples before he left and ascended to heaven. The Apostle Paul tells us in this passage that it is not just us who are groaning because of the weight of sin. Paul says, all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day. I shared some time ago about an experience I had here in Brazil a number of years ago, in a time of prayer with some Brazilian pastors, where the leaves of the trees turned fluorescent green, and the presence of the Lord came, and it was like God was just showing us. To me, it made me realize how dull creation has become because of the weight of sin. It's not. I just imagine it was so glorious before. And it will be glorious again. We look forward to that day. And the creation looks forward to that day, that glorious freedom from death and decay, like Paul says. Maybe you've never thought of all creation in this way. Plants and trees and grass and lakes and forests. We don't have time to look into the whole of Psalm 148. But if you read through Psalm 148, this is a psalm that calls on all creatures, the mountains, the trees, the angels, the armies of heaven, all the stars and the sun and the moon to praise the Lord. Now, I just want to challenge a little of a perspective. We sometimes read that and we think, oh, that's kind of, it's just a phrase. But literally, he's calling all of creation to sing out God's praise. When God created all things, he created everything with what I simply call an essence. All of creation is, in a certain sense, alive. And I'm sure you all know this at some degree or another. Science today tells us that the sun and the planets and the stars and the plants and all of creation has its own voice, if you will, or frequency. I was just reading an article the other day about our bodies are 90% water and the vibrations that go through that and through us. And the experiments they've done in the past where they play or they speak kind words to plants and they flourish. They say harsh words to plants and they wither. We don't realize, we have no clue about what really the creation is all about. Everything is alive in God. He made it to be that way. And everything has its voice. Now I want to turn your attention to the book of Revelation in chapter 11, verse 15, where it says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It was kind of interesting because in a few articles later than where this one is in the calendar, Jim Nesbitt talks about the roaring. I didn't even realize that that was going to be in the calendar like that right after this. But no matter what challenges you and I are facing in this life right now, health-wise, family-wise, relationships, jobs, all the issues of the world going around us, no matter what the distressing circumstances of the world around us, for those who have placed their, those of us who have placed our faith in the saving work of Yeshua, listen, there is coming a day when all will be made right, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. That's perspective. We need to keep that perspective. Lord, help us not to lose our perspective. But can you imagine what that's going to be like when there will be that loud shouting of voices in heaven? Well, that leads me to what I want to share with you tonight. Every morning, my wife and I have a time of prayer and worship. We usually worship about seven worship songs. We put on the armor of God, and we pray together. And we have a whole list of worship songs on YouTube that we choose from. One morning, not too long ago, during our time of worship, I had what you might call a vision. It was not long. It was short, but it was very impactful for me. I was stunned. As we were in worship, it was like I had a front row seat as Yeshua, the bridegroom, had just entered the realms of heaven with his bride. They had just arrived. And as Yeshua and his bride entered, at once there was this tremendous shout. But this was not just any shouting. At first, it was a shout of victory. It had been accomplished. The bride of the Lamb was finally with her beloved. But there was even more, because this shout did not just come from the saints that were there, now united with him, or with the angels who attended this grand event, or not just all creatures in heaven. But in my understanding, as I saw and heard this, this shout was let out by all of creation. Everything that the Lord God had created, all of creation was a part of this great shout. The planets and the galaxies and every part of every dimension was lending its voice to this shout of triumph. And as I heard this amazing, overwhelming shout of triumph, it was like, it seemed like a gigantic sonic boom, a sonic wave created by all these voices that just swept across all of heaven. It was amazing. Words, I don't even have words to try to describe this shout, how it felt as I sensed it and saw it. All of creation. So far, we fall so short of what I saw with our imaginations, but what I felt. But I felt in my spirit that this was the greatest and most powerful victory shout that has been or will ever be. And it was the joy of all creation that now everything is redeemed. And everything is restored to its original purpose and its original place and its original glory, like the fulfillment of Romans 8, Paul talks about, and Ecclesiastes 3, where everything is made beautiful in its time. And this was that time. So, what's the takeaway from this? To me, it was a glimpse not at details, not of timelines and all this kind of stuff that we get so entangled with, but rather it was a glimpse of the truth that there is coming a day Friends, listen, when all things will be made right, all things will be restored to their actual purpose and glory, and God assures us in His Word that He will do this. That simply means that while I'm here, and while we're on here on this side of that victory, I need to keep my right perspective on the trials and the challenges and the difficulties of this life. And that's challenging. That's really challenging sometimes to be able to keep that perspective. But that's so important for us to be able to walk through this time in victory, knowing with this perspective that there's coming that day when all of creation is going to shout. Some of us who are part of this public call participate in some times of prayer where we're taken into heavenly realms. And for me, every time we do this, there's a truth that for me is an anchor point. Every time there's a takeaway for me that's a what I call an anchor point, a truth for me to return to, where I can keep myself oriented and with the right perspective on the things that are going on in my life. I need that so much. It's easy for me to get swayed with all the stuff going on. But this was one of those anchor points from the Lord. He wants us not to get overwhelmed, not to be discouraged, because He assures us that there's coming a time, friends. There is coming a time. It is coming, perhaps soon. I believe it's coming sooner than we realize, when He will make all things right. He shows us this for us to be strengthened in our faith, to trust in Him and not give up. Whatever you may be going through tonight, my friend, your family, your circumstances, your job, whatever it might be, God is in control. And He will make all things right. Look to Him. Look to Him. Strengthen yourself as David did in the Lord. How many times David said, I look to the Lord and I strengthen myself in the Lord. Keep your eyes on that future that He has in His hands. And may the Lord encourage you and strengthen your faith in Him through these words. In Yeshua's name, let me pray for us. Lord, our Father, thank You that we can call You Father. Thank You that You made us a part of Your family. Thank You, Lord, that You are in control of all things. Even as Wade mentioned and Daniel talks about, You change seasons, you appoint kings and take kings away. Everything is in Your hands. You are in control of all things. And Lord, we confess to You how easy it is for circumstances and feelings and all these things to sway us back and forth like the boat with the disciples in the water, and Jesus just had to say, peace be still. And so, Lord, I ask that You would help us to keep our perspective on the truth of Your word, that someday, maybe very soon, You're going to make all things right, and You're going to put all things in its proper place, and all these things that we're going through now will be like nothing compared to the glory of being there with You. And all things, all creation restored, everything restored to its original glory. Help us to keep our perspective. Holy Spirit, help our hearts and our minds to be centered on Your word. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, our Savior, and our coming King. Amen.
Amen.
Back to you, Wade.
Thank you, sir. That very, very powerful. What a great word. You know, so many people worry about everything instead of praising Him for everything. And I'll be honest with you, there are days that, you know, that they challenge me because of where we are and what's going on and why. And you go, you know, I don't understand, Lord. You know, and we battle against powers and principalities and rulers of wickedness. Well, when you look at them, you know, they've been around for thousands of years, far longer than we have. And they've dealt with man all that time. So I try my best not to look at them. I try to look at what the Lord has said. And just like Stephen has given us a powerful foundation tonight, everything has to be built off the foundation of him. Everything of what he has said shall come to pass. There's never anything that he said that's not come to pass. Some things seem like they're delayed, but it's just because it wasn't the time or season. So as we look forward, as we press in, it's going to get better and better. Yes, the times and seasons seem like they're getting worse because wickedness is being exposed. At the same time, it's getting better and better because of the promise. You know, I just, what a glorious word, Steve. Thank you, sir. John, you got another shofar? Or you want to wait and do it after you? Glory, glory. John is going to bring an encouraging word and some vision, and he's going to lead us in communion tonight, and then we're going to go into prayer. So, John Rockwell.
Well, thanks, Wade. Hope everybody's having a good night tonight. And kind of what I wanted to start with, kind of touch on what Wade was talking about and what Steve as well was talking about, and talking about Enoch, if you haven't had a chance to watch Johnny Enlow the past several weeks about him talking about Enoch, I would definitely recommend that you do that on Elijah's Streams. And kind of what stuck out my mind today that he was talking about was that Enoch went from our realm, which is the earthly realm, to the heavenly realm, and back and forth, and he saw things there, and he was to write those things down to encourage us at this time, even though in times past the book has been kind of, I'm going to say, tucked away or not regarded as anything of value, or maybe it was, and they just didn't want everybody to know what was inside of it. But we have that now, and I think we're going to have more of it. But what he talked about today that I remember is that he talked about the tree of life, and the times that Wade and I and Sharon and others, Steve and others, had gone on our ascensions, we had seen the tree of life, touched the bark, at least I did, and saw other attributes of it. But that's part of what Enoch, I think, experienced, was that going back and forth. And we can do that as well in our time, and I think it's going to be more prominent as time goes on, that there are people that go back and forth from realms or just dimensions. So just something to think about, and I thought that was interesting what he had to say today. But if you get a chance, go listen to him. But we are in a situation where there's the power of two or more, which is kind of where we are at with this call, because there's a lot more than just two of us on the call. I think there's like 15 last time that I looked. So definitely we have the power of multiplication with that. And speaking of the two, there are two doors and keys to overcoming all. And the first door is the kingdom of heaven. Nothing can close this door to heaven whose key is faith and God's Son. And also the Lord's merciful in reminding us that he communes with us, even our weakness, whenever the second door, the door of our heart, remains open to him. And his feast, which is what we're getting into now, which is the Feast of Passover, and also the Feast of our praise and worship to Yeshua. Just as the first door is Christ's heart perpetually open to us, the second door of our heart must be remain open to him. The key to the second door is the fear of the Lord. He will be sure foundation of your times and rich store salvation and wisdom and knowledge, and fear of the Lord is the key to treasure. And that's out of Isaiah 33. And some other things that the Father says to us, that he says it's well done because of what we are accomplishing with him, and it's a partnership. Well done is an enduring the process type of a thing. This month it's going to be to pull you out of defeat and the seat at his table, his communion table, which we're going to touch on in just a bit. And look what we have built together, in other words, us and Yeshua, his bride, and take a look around you. You are not where you were, let's say, a week ago or a month ago, or, you know, fill in the blank with that particular time frame. So we definitely have progressed over the years. I know when we first started this call, it was far, far different than what it is today, and we are definitely at a very different place than we were that particular time ago as well. So I'm going to break up what I've got tonight with a piece of music. Over the weekend, we were with a couple of our grandchildren doing some, it's kind of a leadership in Christ type of a gathering for young kids that are from, I think, third grade up to finishing high school. And one of our granddaughters is in a group that sings, a small group, and they also had choruses as well. They sang in a threesome this particular weekend, but I didn't have time to go through the songs that they did. But it made me think about the song that they did last year, which was a quartet that really impacted me, and I think I've used it on this call before. The song is simply called Lord. just hearing young voices sing praises to our Father just gets me every single time. So that is why I chose that for tonight. I'm going to go back to what Wade started with Passover, and ask the question, what is Passover? And I'm going to tie that into communion as well, which will be very shortly. So make sure that you have your elements. And Passover is a joyous celebration commemorating Israel's exodus from Egypt when God judged the Egyptians with the death angel, but passed over the Israelites. The exodus was their deliverance from slavery and oppression. This, of course, was the picture of Christ, our Passover lamb, whose blood delivers us from spiritual death and bondage. After Israel's deliverance, they celebrated at the Red Sea with timbrels, singing, and dancing. And that's out of Exodus 15, 20 to 21. So as we think about Passover, which today, this evening, is the start of Passover, our Passover lamb is Yeshua. And this was a picture, a shadow of what he was going to do. And Israel depicted that. They didn't know that they were depicting Christ and his crucifixion, but that's what they were doing when they first did the first Passover. We're going to continue that and remember Yeshua as he died on the cross. His broken body was the roasted lamb in the fire, and he went through all those trials, the trials by fire, and that's what that represented. And the shed blood, which was the blood that they put on the doorpost to have the death angel pass over, to where they had life instead of the death that that struck the Egyptians. And that's what Yeshua's blood does for us. It gives us life. It erases all the sin. And that is the whole package that redeems us, takes us back to the right relationship with God, and eventually taking us back to the beginning, which I believe is going back to the Garden of Eden. That is where the plan, kind of what Steve was talking about, that the plans, all things are going to be made right. That's where things were all right. But we just thank you, Yeshua, for your sacrifice and your shed blood and your broken body and your resurrection and your ascension as well, that you're sitting at the right hand of God, and that's where we are with you, because you are in us and we are in you and you are in the Father. And that's how things come together, to have that right relationship with the Father. And we just praise you and thank you for that sacrifice. And we praise you again in Yeshua's name. Go ahead and partake of the elements. And Wade, I go ahead and yield back to you.
Thank you, sir. I needed that communion. I ate a whole half of a cracker and a wafer and three gulps of wine. I really needed that communion today. You know, we're in a time where we need the washing of the water, the word, and the blood. I want to refer everybody to Glory of Zion, Chuck Pierce, and GOZ.org, gloryofzion.org. Chuck posted a 21 days of praise and worship guideline. It's powerful. I think everybody should do it. It's easy. You just go online and copy and paste, download it. And it goes through scriptures for each day. And it started on the 15th, so we are behind. But I want to encourage you to catch up. Okay, and it talks, it gives outstanding scripture of what the Lord is saying, what he's doing for this time and season that we're in, that we'll get a full release and deliverance into our destiny as we go forward. Many of you heard that 2 weeks ago I was at Glory of Zion, and Chuck called me out and he said, the doors are now open and the blockages have been removed. Go forward, press forward. Matter of fact, some people that go on our call regularly called me from different parts of the country. They said they had seen it and what God was saying. And I'm also going to tie back to something John just said. Several times over the last 3.5 years that we've been doing these ascended times before the Lord, seeking him in a special way. One of those times was Francis and I. And I was seeking the Lord, and I asked him for two things. I wanted to talk to him about angels, and I wanted to go to the tree of life. And we did their thing about angels, and he immediately took me to the tree. And it's one of the biggest, most magnificent trees that you'd ever imagine. And it is a fruit tree. Now, in Enoch, it talks about that the fruit looked like clusters of dates. And it's kind of wrinkly, but they were the size of footballs. You know, they're big fruit, and golden. It looked like golden honey dripping off of it. It was the oil, but it was a sweet oil, and it was like honey. It was sweeter than anything I ever tasted. I didn't get to taste the fruit because we weren't allowed to take it. They had there were angels on four corners, north, south, east, and west, guarding it. And these were very large angels. And I said, Lord, why the angels? Nothing can get here to penetrate. He said, consider it an honor guard. It's an honor for them to guard the tree of life. And I said, so a 24-hour period, or how long do they stand? And he said, well, to you, it'd be a 24-hour period. And I says, but a day in heavens is like 1,000 years on earth. And he said, yes. He says, they guard it very happily. And so it looks like dates, but it dripped a golden liquid like honey that reflected, and there was a dome over it. Well, I was standing about 50 feet away, and I was standing with Yeshua and Enoch, and we're talking about it. And we look over there, and there's a man and eight women. And they turn around and look at us, and they wave. So what are you going to do? We wave back. And then I turned. The Lord said he had to go. He had other things to do, so he left, and he says, Enoch, we'll show you back. So Francis and I are together, and we're walking along with Enoch, talking to him. And I said, Lord, do you know my friend? I mean, Enoch. I said, do you know my friend Matt Frazier? And Enoch said, yes, I do. We talk all the time. And I said, well, tell him hello next time that you see him. He laughed, and he says, okay, I will. So the next morning at 7:30 in the morning, I call Matt. I said, Matt, I got to tell you something. The most incredible thing happened. I was literally at the Tree of Life in a vision. And I was with Enoch, and he said he was going to tell you hello for me. And he laughed, and he says, was it a man and eight women? I said, yeah. He said, did he wave at you? I said, yeah. He says, wait, that was me and the other group. I said, you're kidding me. So two people in different parts of the country, different time zones, with different people at the same place in heaven that knew each other. I can't tell you how cool that was. It was incredible of what God was doing and showing us the fullness of what he has for us. And he showed us the tree of life. And like I said, you can't really put words to it. You know, Enoch talks about it. The fruit was like dates. It looked like giant clusters of dates, but they were the size of footballs to me. I mean, they were massive looking, and that golden, it looked like the color of a golden pear honey dripping off of it in each one of them. And I said, and it had a dome over it. I said, well, nothing can penetrate you. He says, well, you can walk in there, but you know, nothing's going to penetrate. No evil shall come near to the tree of life. I went, wow, okay. And then the next morning, have that confirmed. What an incredible, you know, encounter. So as we go forward, just know that the Lord is calling people up, and even Chuck Pierce this week, and in the past 6 months, dozens of prophets have gone to that Revelation 4 and Revelation 2, and they've talked about the Lord saying, come up here, and I'll show you that which you did not know, and things which are to come. He wants to show us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to demonstrate his great love for us and what he's done. And he said something just last week which really was earth-shattering, and that was that he was proud of us. He was proud of his sons and daughters. And I know that's hard. He wasn't talking about me or the group that we're with. He was talking about his sons and daughters, because his sons and daughters have gone beyond ministry. They've gone beyond the fivefold ministry. They've pressed into the realization of who they are as sons and daughters, and that we have position in heaven in him, through him, that is beyond anything we've understood. And now scripture is being revealed at a level that I've read scripture for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden read it and get a whole new understanding. things I did not know or understand are revealed to us. So as we press through in this Passover, get the Glory of Zion 21-day prayer focus for the month and catch up and start doing it. It's just a devotional every day. You could add it to the devotional of your calendar or your prayer or whatever you have, and you're going to be blessed, I guarantee you. I'm going to go down the list tonight and call on people for prayer. We got 30 minutes, so I'm going to try to get as many as I can. I'm going to call by the when they came on. So the first person that came on tonight was Mike Suttlesworth. Mike, do you have a prayer or word or praise that you want to lift up tonight as we enter into this Passover season?
Well, yes, thank you. As I mentioned earlier, this past weekend, Saturday, I was invited by a friend of mine to go to a Passover Seder. It was my second one. And if anybody has a chance to attend one, I would say go ahead and take it. It's a very unique experience, and it will help you understand a little bit about what the Passover was about. So, yes, I just want to say a quick prayer. Father, just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be on this call to get to know all of those that I've met through the Republic and on this call. And Lord, just be with us in the time that's coming up this coming week, this week. And I just feel like that things are coming along the way that you have arranged them. And we can see all around us that that prophecies are being fulfilled and that things are happening. Some we understand, some we don't. But just be with us. Give us discernment. Send out your angels of protection around us. And just help us to have faith and keep our hope, because our hope is in you. And Lord, just be with us, take care of us, be with our families, and be with everybody on this call. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Governor Jim Carpenter, do you have a prayer or word for tonight?
Thank you, Wade. Good evening, everyone. I have to confer. The things that the Lord's been bringing my way and the opportunities to serve and to educate, the fruits of my efforts continue to show that the Holy Spirit's working in my life and in the efforts that we're all about. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of men, and He is the answer. So I lift up a prayer for those that to come forward that the Holy Spirit's calling on, and to step forward and to help lead the way in our future. So, Father God, we come to you, Abba, Father. We're so thankful that you will hear our prayers through the shed blood of your Son, Yeshua, who gives us access to your throne room. And, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in these days. We ask that we not make mistakes, and that we truly serve you and reflect your face. We ask you to bless the seeds that we plant and provide a good harvest that would glorify you. We thank you for what you have called us to, and the hope and the future that we know abide in you, and we give and lift you up in praise and glory, and call forth the Holy Spirit and the warring angels and ministry spirits to accomplish the task. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Robert Zuwalda, you got a prayer or word or something you wish to pray tonight?
Good evening, Wade. Good evening, others. I've missed the Seder tonight. There was a Seder down in Colorado Springs, and I just didn't have somebody to go with, and I didn't feel like journeying out. But I'll tell you what the Word God has in me. I've been preparing and presenting an American history and biblical citizenship class. And so I want to go to Habakkuk 2. And I want to frame it. You know, America's Constitution was the first written constitution that really set the tone for going out and fulfilling the Great Commission. When you look at a map of world civilizations, there's one website that'll take it 200,000 years back. Of course, most of us know 200,000 years ago, there was nothing on the planet. But it goes through and then it shows civilizations coming and going, grouping, gathering, falling apart, coming and going and growing. And if you look at world civilizations and structured societies, they really got structured around the time of 1776 and forward. And now you can see that all nations are structured. There's like 195 nations. And Habakkuk 2 says this, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet to be for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and will not lie. When you look at writing a vision down and making it plain for a nation, our Constitution does exactly that. So when I look at the fact that of the 195 nations, I think there's only three that don't have a written constitution that I'm aware of, and that's England and New Zealand and Israel. So my thought and my prayer this evening is that we have really, as a nation, gone forth and fulfilled the Great Commission to a large degree. It's not complete. We're not in the end times yet, I don't think. But really, America has gone forth, thanks to a vision written down, a form of government which balances power through three branches of government. And it's really allowed nations and peoples to fulfill all that God designs in us as a people. So my prayer is there's a thirst. I see a thirst in the body of Christ to know more and understand. And part of this time, and you know, a lot of talk about Enoch now, but a lot of what I see is that we have had the tares sown amongst the wheat, and the cabal, the bankers, the Jesuits, the whole Khazarian Jews, which aren't Jews at all, have sown seeds of corruption throughout our civilization. And discerning the time for me, discerning the time we live in, and not, you know, it's so easy to be deceived because they make things look like they're legitimate, that they're Christian, that they're, you know, what God intends for his people, but you look behind the signature and you see there's just some really nasty forces there. So my prayer is that we all, as a body, discern the times, discern where we are to be positioned, whether we step out and say, no, we're not going to participate in this contrived compliance that we have now in our culture. And that God guides us with courage to stand. Perhaps we will be persecuted for it. That's not clear to me yet how that will unfold. But I think we do have to stand up against the lie within our generation, and to what degree that we will be called upon to give our life, it's not clear to me yet what that looks like. So Heavenly Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters on this call. I thank you, Lord, that your word constantly guides us, that you have set in place before our time, the instruction to write a vision and make it plain for others to follow. And Lord, I believe we're in that time. I pray for the integrity of your people, for the integrity of your word, that it goes forth, and that we rescue a culture, we rescue the next generation, we rescue those who are being deceived before our very eyes by shiny trinkets and baubles, by distractions. So in this time of Passover, I just pray that we take the time to just rest in you, to rejoice in you, to rest in your promises, and to know that we will live in the land of Goshen at the times of trouble for many, and we just pray the rescuing of those who are you have called and tapped for this time and space. And I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Powerful. Great prayer. Bruce and Linda, I've got a special request, plus whatever's on both of your hearts, to pray. You heard me mention earlier in the pre-call that the persecution that James Timothy Turner has come under again, and you know, he was supposed to already gotten that ankle bracelet off, and they delayed it. They came down on him hard for the Republic calls and other things he was working on to help people. Said they did it again. He'd violate parole, from what I understand. John probably has more knowledge on that than I do. But I would ask for your prayers, whatever you have, and then lift up Tim this evening. And I'd like for both of you to pray whatever God's got on your heart.
Okay. I'll pray for Tim first. Father, we thank you for our brother, Tim Turner. Thank you for who he is. Number one, a child of the Most High God, our brother, a leader in the Republic for the United States. We thank you, Father God, for the fact that he's put his life out on the line for us and for this nation, and for your glory to be revealed again in this nation as you would have it to be done. Father, he's coming against continued persecution from those who are unrighteous, Lord, those who don't know you, those who don't desire to follow and flow in the ways of the Most High God. Father, we ask that you would turn their hearts in your hand, Father God. Lord, that they would come to know you, that they would know the glory that you have for them, Father God, as they yield their hearts fully to you. Father God, that the joy that they would see in our brother Tim would convict their hearts, Father God, that their evil ways are not the ways that they should be walking. Father, that the joy unspeakable and full of glory would be upon our brother Tim. Father, you would comfort his heart, you'd give him strength, you'd give him peace, you'd give him joy, you'd give him the fullness of his heart, Father, from you, that he would know and be and do exactly that which you would have for him, Father, in this hour, in this season, that he would be able to go forth in power and authority to accomplish all of your plan and purpose for his life. And we thank you for that, and we set our hearts in agreement for that, Father, and give you the glory and praise in the name of your Son, Yeshua. Now, beyond that, I've been working on my next paper, which is about done. And I've been in the book of Joshua and also in Deuteronomy, and I found some interesting things, but being as this is the, actually it's the 10th of Nisan, I guess it is, when the lamb was taken aside and set aside for 4 days before it was slain. Thinking of the Passover Supper itself, now, this Passover supper that Yeshua partook of with his disciples was not a big group. There was 12 disciples and he and possibly a couple of others there, who knows. But at any rate, it was not a big group, but it was a very intimate group. This is a group that he had been with for years, who understood him to a large degree, who loved him with all of their hearts, who desired to be in fellowship with one another. And that, to me, speaks of this call That's exactly what this call is. It's a time of fellowship. It's a time of the Passover Seder where we share of the bread and the juice. And it's just a very, very special time as it was for Yeshua. And we are going forth together in the same spirit that they went forth with, knowing that God has great things for those whose hearts are fully yielded unto him. Now, I was saying I had been in Joshua and Deuteronomy, and interesting, this being the 10th of Nisan, when the lamb was separated, that is the same exact day when the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan into the plains of Jericho. 4 days later, they celebrated the Passover. That was one of the two primary things they did, one of the two, number two in the sequence of things that they did when they entered into the promised land to celebrate the Passover. So very, very significant time for us in our day, very, very significant time. And just I commented to Linda in studying this out that you can't make this stuff up. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they enter into the land of Israel the same day they left the land of Goshen 40 years before to celebrate the Passover. That's awesome. God is a great and a mighty God. So, Father, we just rejoice in your grace, your goodness, your mercy, your awesomeness, Father God, that is so far beyond our meager understanding. Lord, just continue to enlighten our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have created, all that you have prepared for those whose hearts are yielded unto you, all that you desire for us to move into in this day and this hour. And Father God, that your glory may be revealed on earth fully as it is in heaven, in and through your body, your ecclesia. And we give you thanks and praise and glory for that in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Linda?
Well, praise the Lord. Blessings to all. And I'm going to go back to what I've gone to before, but there might be some that haven't heard me, and I'll make it quick. But the Lord told me in 2011 that he said, you know, that if a remnant would call forth an Esther work in our days, he's no respecter of persons. He would do for us what he did for them. Now think about it, and I'm going along with what Steve said. He believes things are going to happen very, very soon. I do too. But Mordecai was tormented and pestered by Haman, and Haman wanted to destroy him, and you know all of this stuff. And I just pray the victory on Tim Turner that Mordecai saw. That Tim has been working hard for our nation. He has a good heart. I'm not saying he's perfect. None of us are perfect. But we love the Lord, and we want to please him, and we want to bless him. And I just thank you, Lord, that the spirit of Haman is going to fall, break apart, have no way to destroy Tim Turner, and he is going to rejoice as Mordecai did. And Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, as in the day of Esther, that many, 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 many people came to the God of Mordecai and Esther because of the goodness they saw them walk in. And I thank you and praise you, Father, that we're going to see a mighty move of God come in this nation, and it's going to impact the whole world. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we aren't perfect, but we have been willing to call upon you, to walk your way, to desire your help and your direction, and to do those things that would please you. Father, that you might be able to bring forth the victory that you desire, that you have called forth in this nation. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Janet, do you have a prayer or word that you want to say tonight?
She has stepped away.
Okay. All right, we're going to do something a little different right now. I wish to tell you all something that I do not want on the recording. So I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody being a part of it tonight that ties in. And I say good night to you. And everybody else, please stay here.